Hey, Rochelle, how are you doing today?
I'm all right, Jen. How are you?
I'm enjoying the fall weather. It's been like nicely cooled down, and I think I've been in a total baking mood. There's been apple crisp happening, and I went apple picking not too long ago, actually.
You went apple picking?
I did. It was so much fun.
So jealous. You know what I love about apple picking is the smell of the orchard when you like get out of the car, and it's so crisp and clean. And yeah, I think I read somewhere that crisp autumn smell, the reason why it smells so sweet is because of the decay of the leaves, which sounds kind of morbid, but it's like such an interesting, yeah, because decay can smell sweet. Anyway. So what else have you been baking? Apple crisp. Are you like a streusel topper or like a granola topper?
Oh, that's it. In this particular one, it was like oats and brown sugar and more sugar and butter. You know, all the really healthy things.
Just add butter. Right. It's making better. Well, I'm jealous. That sounds delicious.
And what about fall activities for you?
I think because we are currently quarantining like everybody else, there's going to be none of that, like, pumpkin picking stuff, but we do regularly take walks through the neighborhood, and I'm so thankful to all the folks who are still celebrating Halloween and putting up their lawn Halloween decorations, which my kid absolutely loves. And he's only, like, I know this makes me sound like a bad parent, but I can never remember how old he is, but he's, like, 1 year and a bunch of months short of 2 years. And, you know, I just anticipated him to be afraid of it, but he's not. Like, he loves these terrifying faces, so I'm
He is
proud.
Totally your child.
Yeah, I love Halloween so much. But yeah, it's also kind of bittersweet because, I mean, this is at least my favorite time of the year. Probably yours too, right? Like, I think we're super into this time of year. And it's just, you know, it takes a little bit more work to sort of appreciate the season right now.
Yeah. And there's, you know, we're recording this about a week before or so, a couple of days before Halloween. And there's some fun things that people are trying to do to at least keep some traditions alive. But definitely traditions are changing. And, you know, for those of us that are used to those traditions and enjoy them, it's a little bit of a challenge to see them changing as they are. But maybe people will just get used to candy shooting out of what are those things called? The tubing. Like, people are like doing all kinds of fun little rides down to the street level.
People are definitely getting creative these days, and I wish I had that level of creativity. But hopefully, we will not have to keep being creative for another. Who knows? You know.
That's true.
But hopefully soon it turns around. But this actually is very related to our topic this week, which is
the neuroscience of gratitude. Hello, everybody. I'm Jen Baker.
I'm Rochelle Stoinich.
And this is Playing Well with Others. We could insert a musical interlude here.
Musical interlude.
Is feeling pretty heavy right now, and this year we feel like we're focusing on a lot of loss, a loss of things how we used to do things, loss of people. There's just, it feels really heavy, and sometimes we only are hearing about the bad news, and that really feels like it weighs us down quite a bit. Combine that, the news, with the way of how our brains function, and it's really easy to be depressed and anxious. Now, first things first, do not hesitate to seek out professional help if you're feeling these things. If you're feeling any kind of depression, anxiety, this is totally normal, especially in these state of days. And we have a really great EAP, or Employee Assistance Program, that is run through our benefits group. So if you're interested, certainly contact our benefits group to find out how you can tap into this program. And also, there's many therapists that are covered by our insurance.
That's right. And a lot of therapists these days are doing virtual appointments, so you're not going to have to go into an office necessarily. You can do it safely from your own home. So we do encourage you to seek some help and, you know, just some support. And sometimes it's just better to talk to somebody else.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about how our brains can be and feel hardwired for picking up negative facts. So we have a negativity bias, that things with a negative slant will stay in our minds or attention more than those that are positive or neutral. Think about when you get feedback from your boss. They may say 10 great things and one not so great thing about your work or something to work on. And if you're like me, I can't remember the 10 good things, but that one thing that they gave me, you know, not so great feedback on will just keep me up at night. Absolutely. I've had those nights where I'm just obsessing over one detail and I can't let it go, despite the fact that 90% of it was successful. So it makes sense why we have this, because it's evolutionary. It's a survival mechanism, right? So we have a higher likelihood of surviving if we remember situations that are dangerous or harmful, or if we feel like it's a threat to us. Our brains also have greater neural processing to negative stimuli, whether it's sensory, cognitive, or motor.
Thanks, brains. In other words, we have to hack our own brains in order to overcome this negativity bias. And this is where gratitude comes in. Gratitude is the practice of actively looking at things that you're thankful for, that you're grateful for in your life. And when you think of gratitude, you can think about showing appreciation for those good things in your life, whether it's you recognizing it in your own life or you recognizing somebody else in terms of what they're contributing to your life. But even if things seem bleak, there are things that we could focus on appreciating, even if it's just, I was able to get up and breathe air today. That could be something, if it's that, if you're having that much of a trouble, that might be something that you just focus on the small, very fundamental things.
And I think even though we are talking about the practice of gratitude, gratitude itself is actually an emotion. And I think that's why it's so powerful, where that, yes, I did look up people's meanings of gratitude, but I will not be reading the Webster Dictionary definition of gratitude. But gratitude is the feeling or the emotion that you get when something of value is given to you, usually by somebody else. And sometimes it's even at a cost to that person, and you feel thankful. And I think this is an important distinction, because emotion versus cognition and thinking can be two, even though they're related, they can be two different things. And sometimes emotional processing is so much more powerful.
Yeah.
I think we're going to talk some about that a little bit more, but I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Well, you're right about the emotional component of gratitude. And one of the studies, there's actually been several studies that have shown that practicing gratitude actually releases toxic emotions. And what happens is, in your brain, it targets the hippocampus, not a hippopotamus, but the hippocampus and the amygdala, which are two sites that regulate emotions. Sorry, I'm a little bit laughing about that part.
I have a hippopotamus in my brain at all times.
Which is absolutely adorable. But the hippocampus and the amygdala are two sites that regulate emotions, memory, bodily functions, and they get activated when you start to have feelings of gratitude. They could study this. When you're looking at things that are actually making you feel grateful, they're seeing it light up in their different studies. But it also is helping to release serotonin and dopamine, which are those lovely feel-good hormones that get released in your body, or that make us feel happier and more content. So in other words, all of that negativity bias that we're prone to have thanks to evolution, it helps to shut that down by triggering the reward center of our brain by having positive thoughts.
So if you know anything about antidepressants, you may know that serotonin and dopamine are actually two of the neurotransmitters that antidepressants target. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, that just shows how important they are in feeling a wellness and staving off that depression and anxiety.
Yep.
I think dopamine has to do with feeling reward. And then serotonin is a little bit more, it's all over the place. But essentially it is, and this is from my undergraduate studies of psychology, please. Mm-hmm. I know this is not going to be 100% correct, folks, but the serotonin helps with the regulation of your nervous system.
Right.
stress hormones, your heart rate, your sleep, etc., etc. So you can imagine when you're in a stressful situation, you're feeling that fight or flight kind of feeling, and you're feeling nervous and your palms get sweaty and your heart starts racing. That's because all of those neurotransmitters are getting kind of out of whack. Imagine when you start a practice of gratitude, it will help control that a little bit, and that's why it helps you calm down. And so it has this like neurophysiological effect. You know, it's not, sometimes it's not instant, but it helps you practice and it helps your body get used to that process of calling in those helpful neurotransmitters to get you to a clearer mind and a calmer mind.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you're mentioning that, like, it helps to train your body to get used to having these, having this different feeling, because a gratitude practice can also help to strengthen our overall focus on the positive. The more attention that we, the way our brains work is that the more attention we put on something, the stronger connection. So if we're constantly putting our focus on negative things and things that are making us feel bad, what's happening is it's creating this well-worn path of neural connections that now that's the stronger connection. Mm-hmm. But if we can focus on creating a well-worn path on positive connections, our overall thought process on looking for positive things starts to grow stronger. So rather than seeking out the negative, we actually start to train our brains to seek out the positive and look and focus on that, which we just said that when you focus on the positive, it actually makes your body feel better because it's triggering all of these rewards. Yep. We want to create that well-worn path for the positive.
Yep. I think I read, one of the things that I read in preparation for this episode, somebody said that gratitude is almost like a muscle that you're training. And it literally is. Like, it's not a metaphor. Like, it's literally creating those synapses and bridges in your brain. And the paths in your brain so that the practice becomes more natural to you.
And it's crazy. It just blows, it blows my mind in a really positive way.
It reminds me of when people tell you like, oh, you learned something, you have a new wrinkle in your brain, which I don't think is literally true, but there are synapses and, you know, connections in your brain that are becoming, you know, stronger, and more prominent in your practice. And I think...
I have a feeling we're going to hear from all of our neuroscientists in our community, and I hope it's a positive thing.
We may not be getting all the details 100%, but I think the general idea is that the practice of gratitude may not feel like it comes naturally to you, but it's something, it's a skill that you can learn, and certainly it will get easier through time.
Yep.
One of the things that I read is that, like we were discussing a few minutes ago, you know, it's a hard time for a lot of folks to feel grateful because there's so much stress and negativity, you know, all around. Even with that aside, I think some people feel like in general, they have a harder time being grateful and feeling gratitude. And one of the things that I found was interesting, actually, is that that may be a physiological thing. Yet again, it goes down even to your DNA. They found certain genes where if this person has it, they are more likely to express gratitude over those that don't.
Oh, wow.
Or they've done like twin studies. So a lot of, you know, one of the ways that they prove theories about DNA is they study identical twins versus fraternal twins.
Right.
And they found that identical twins, because they share the same DNA, that they have the same levels of gratitude versus fraternal twins that don't, because fraternal twins only have 50% of each other's DNAs. And then also, like you said, it's all about brain structure and activity. So there are certain parts of your brain, for some people, it's easier for them to light up, you know, that part of your brain, like amygdala and hippocampus that you mentioned when it has to do with gratitude. And that's because of those neural paths that have to get well worn. But, you know, let's say you don't have that gene, or you don't have those brains easily activated, you know, brain centers easily activated, you can get to a point where that is natural for you.
Absolutely.
So if you're feeling down right now, actively seeking out a practice or practicing gratitude will actually help you go to a better place, even though it's hard to start.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we absolutely.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because gratitude studies have shown that it improves not only your mental health, but your physical health. There's been so many studies on kind of the connection between what your mental health is and what your body is doing. But one that was really interesting to me was that there was a study of patients who suffered acute coronary events, so their heart was troubled, and those who expressed and felt optimistic and grateful ended up getting better faster, and their hearts were actually healthier. Like, they showed less damage to their hearts, which is just, it's really fascinating. And that study really hit home for me, and I have a little bit of a personal story. My dad had had a stroke around Thanksgiving in 2011. And it was really touch and go for several weeks. And I was doing my best to stay optimistic because I knew that it would help him and it would also help my mom, who was kind of taking care of everybody. And I had seen this thing on Pinterest that was, you know, you take a deck of cards that was 52 things that I love about you. And the type of stroke that he had had was he had forgotten quite a bit of things. And so I thought this would be a great way to remind him of things that he's done in his past, but also to express my gratitude to him too. Yeah. And it felt really good because I was able to focus my thoughts instead of being really scared and upset and worried about what was happening to him. But I was able to focus on, like, this is how much I love my dad. And this is all of the things that I'm so grateful for that he had done in my life. And it was really a very powerful moment. And even though he had passed away a couple of months after that, I was so, like, what is remaining with me is the fact that I got a chance to actually share how much he meant to me and how much I was grateful for that. And it helped to trigger some of those positive feelings for him too.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Jen. I mean, that's such a wonderful, beautiful, and well-rounded example of how gratitude, not only in the long term, but in that moment where you shared those things with your dad, was so powerful. So, I mean, from what I heard, it was, in the moment, it felt good to you, right? So there.
Right.
And I'm sure it made him feel good to, I mean, you're telling him exactly why you love him and why you're so grateful. So it's like two people getting their serotonin and dopamine released. But I also found it interesting that you said it helped you focus your thoughts.
Yeah.
Which I think is another point to this neuroscience of gratitude that we're talking about, how when you're stressed out, the prefrontal cortex of your brain, which is your planning, your reasoning, your decision making, it loses control. And your body, because it's going to the flight or fight response, starts to listen to other parts of your body that's all about your brain that's all about survival, right? So because your planning and thinking cortex is losing control, you may not make the best decisions or you may be all over the place. So in this exercise of gratitude that you just talked about, it perfectly illustrates how it just, it helps center you and you're like mindful in that moment. And that's so beautiful. And that it had a lasting effect for you. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I know this was like a super vital moment, in your life, but that just the act of that is something that you will always cherish and probably I would say that it probably makes you feel good, thinking about it and grateful.
Right.
Kind of meta that you've done it right. So that's so
beautiful. Well, and think about how when you lose people or they leave your life and how many times you think, like, I never got to share with them how I felt about them. Yeah. Well, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till a stressful event.
That's right.
You could actually move into it whenever you want. And I really try to focus and do that with family and friends and also my coworkers, which kind of brings us to our next part of some of why gratitude is really important. It helps us to build those relationships both personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. Studies have shown that gratitude helps facilitate helping behavior. So what happens is when you're on a team, when you express the fact that you are appreciative to your coworkers for what they're doing, it makes them want to do it more.
Yep.
And even studies have shown that if you are very aware of your gratitude, people are more willing to help anybody. So if you're feeling grateful, you're going to be more willing to help somebody else, even if they're strangers.
Yep. It's amazing because in a way, gratitude is this like it's not self-sustaining, but it's sort of like a paying it forward emotion. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So even in an isolate, if you feel like it's an isolated event, when it involves a social component, it actually keeps spreading because people will pay it forward, right? So, which is, in a way, it kind of goes against the traditional mentality of, if you want to succeed, just, you know, you can do it by grit or hard work by yourself. Right. When actually what you should be cultivating is that pro-social, for those pro-social skills, like expressing gratitude and knowing how to pay it forward, because then you're not only making other people feel good, but you're encouraging them to extend that, and you're building support and a network that will, you know, self-sustain, because this is a practice that you're practicing together.
Yep, absolutely. So for those of you who might be working at home and your family members might be driving you a little bit crazy, can you please put those dishes away? Well, maybe switch focus a little bit and try to focus on, you know, what you're appreciating about being able to spend more time with the person or being at home, and what the value is to you, rather than focusing on, you know, the little things that might get on your nerves.
How do we express more gratitude, Jen? Like, in what ways do you do that? Because that sounds, I think for a lot of people, if they have to go up to somebody's face and say, I feel grateful for this, or thank you for this, all of a sudden they're like shaking in their boots like, I can't do this. This is way too awkward.
Well, I think that you could start with your own brain and really focusing on your own self. don't get into people's faces just yet. Let's focus on things that you are personally grateful for. Yep. And probably one of the most powerful ways is to journal. Mm-hmm. That if you develop a habit where each day you write down, here's something that I'm grateful for. And you might notice that there are some days that, like, you have a ton of things that you're really grateful for. And there are other days that you're a little bit pushing the envelope of, like, well, I'm grateful for the fact that I have clothes. That's absolutely okay. It's more of that practice. Remember, we talked about that neural pathway. So the journaling really helps to create this muscle memory of actively searching out for things that you're grateful for.
I mean, like, in doing research for this episode, I've found that most of the experiments that they've done in terms of gratitude and its lasting effects, one of the more common ways that they would instill gratitude in people is through journaling. And it's actually been proven, if you want to sustain happiness, writing down things that you're grateful for at the end of the day is one of the, like, best ways to keep yourself motivated in that practice. I think there was one research experiment where they asked folks to write down things that they were grateful for about a month, for 21 days. And then there was a control group where they had to write something, but it was just like write something about their childhood, right? And they found that the folks who were writing things that they were grateful for had just increased wellness overall, like in their health and in happiness. And that effect lasted up to 6 months. That feeling of optimism lasted up to 6 months after they stopped journaling. That's pretty amazing. Like, half a year of, like, feeling of wellness is, I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it could be a physical journal where it's paper that you're actually writing it down. It could be an app where you just quickly record something. Yeah. It could be a voice thing. Yeah. Whatever works for you and you find is the best method. But the it's really about the exercise of training your brain to look for what those positive things are and to call them out and, like, make note of them.
You know, gratitude researchers have also said that it's actually better to look at the little things and not the big things, because the big things feel very obvious. And if you just keep listing the same big things over and over and again, the power that they have in your perception of gratitude is going to lessen, because it sort of normalizes, right? You're just going to be like, oh, of course I'm grateful for this. And you're actually going to lose your feeling of gratitude towards them a little bit. But if you say, like, oh, I appreciate... I'll give an example. So one thing that I appreciate that might feel like a little thing is, you know, whenever I'm in a training, like I was facilitating a training last week, and when you say, any volunteers would like to share their thoughts, and somebody immediately starts the conversation, I appreciate that so much.
Yeah.
And it might seem like a small gesture for that person, but the amount of relief that I feel as an instructor that somebody is willing to display that they're engaged in the activity, I'm so grateful for that.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. So small things are great too.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like, I'm so grateful that I just won $1 million. It could be, I'm so grateful for what I have right in front of me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it recognizing what is available to you really does make a big difference
moment.
Rather than what's not available.
Yep.
One of the other things that is something that I'm really fond of is it's a roses and thorns discussion. And I had heard of other families doing this. So you could do it at like a dinner table or have you.
Yeah.
I do this with a couple of my friends where we talk about like, what were the great things about today or roses?
Okay.
And what were some of those things that were troublesome to us? Because we don't, you know, when you're practicing great gratitude, it's not about forgetting the bad things or forgetting the challenging things.
Right.
It could be just to call them out, but you're still overall focusing on things that you're grateful for. So it's our way to kind of de-stress and to share what's going on in our lives of here are some highlights and here are the things that were a little bit of a challenge today. And what I've noticed over time, here's the coolest part, is there are days that I'm really struggling to see like what were the thorns. I'm not seeing any thorns. Yeah. And that has been because we've been kind of keeping track via, we use Telegram.
Yeah.
So when I keep track of that, I'm like, my thorns are not as thorny anymore because I keep focusing on some of the roses. So that's been a lot of fun.
Now, do you recommend mentioning thorns first over roses, or is there like
an order? Yeah. And here's
because you want to end up on the positive side, right?
Yeah. I like to kind of leave that flavor of, you know, here's some things that I'm hopeful for that I'm really wanting to focus on more than the thorn. So yeah, I might lead with the thorn and then end with the rose. But also something that I focus on the thorn is, you know, here's a challenge, but here's how I could overcome it. So still have that positive spin on it too.
I think I've tried that. I've done the conversation of like, oh, what was great about your day?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't actually done it as directly as, you know, really listing different things and just not being flippant about like, oh, yeah, I'm glad I saw this squirrel eating a pizza on my way home. True story.
Now I want to hear that story, which might be a rose of my day.
There's no story, like literally. A squirrel was eating a pizza on top of a dumpster.
Wow. Anyway,
but I'm grateful for seeing these things. Okay, so the next one, the next practice on our list is having a gratitude buddy.
And yeah.
I actually have a gratitude buddy.
Do you? Oh, that's cool.
And I mean, we didn't like, we didn't outwardly set this practice specifically for gratitude. It was actually just checking in on each other.
Right.
We just thought we would check in to make sure that our wellness is okay.
Yeah.
And one of the activities that we put into our check-ins is gratitude. So we have an Excel spreadsheet set up.
Yeah.
And we will input, at least, I think we have three things. I think we have three things that we were grateful for in that day. And even though we, you know, everybody's so busy now and like, you know, she has her own things and I have my own things. So we can't always like check in verbally and face to face on Zoom. So we just look at the Excel spreadsheet and see what each other is grateful for. And you know what the funny thing is? Like sometimes I will want to list something that I feel is totally silly on that spreadsheet.
Right.
And I'll be like, I'm not going to list it. And I'll list something else that sounds more, you know, normal. Because I can be an abnormal thinker, folks. and then I'll read her spreadsheet and it was the exact same thing
what
I didn't want to list. So she, that's another way that it centers me because when I know that she's willing to be silly as well, that it makes me feel more comfortable being silly in our gratitude together.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend it. There have been times where I felt like I've been super busy and I can't input in our spreadsheet or talk to each other. And those days, you know, I've missed like a couple weeks at a time. And I feel less relaxed in those weeks. Like, and I think it's because at the end of the day, I don't have that decompression that practice of making me appreciate what I, you know, what I'm thankful for. So, but I highly recommend a gratitude buddy because if you know that somebody else is reading it, it keeps you
Yeah.
It keeps you accountable to the practice.
Well, and that's the thing is like people use this with any kind of wellness kind of things, whether it's exercising or what have you, is that accountability to somebody else, that it reminds you that you can't just cheat yourself because there's somebody else that wants it. But also one of the points that you bring up is being selective with who that person is, but who you surround yourself. If you know that you have this one friend that's just a downer all of the time and they just don't, you know, they're not with you on that and they're not supporting you in a positive way, that's something to really challenge yourself on. What does that person mean to you? Because you want people who are going to help to motivate you to stay positive as well.
That's right.
And be that person yourself of, you know, think about your influence on other people of, am I always the downer person and what can I do to change that?
A lot of people will feel like, well, this is my opportunity to get this person, to help this person. And that's okay up to a certain point, I think.
Right.
But I think if it's detrimental to your own progress, you may want to rethink.
You got it. Yeah.
Who your buddy is.
Such a good point.
Yeah. It has to be balanced. So, okay. What's our next? Number four on our list is...
create visual reminders or auditory, whatever works for you, but create reminders to practice gratitude. What can you... and I'm not talking about those somewhat... on the nose, like hanging there, posters around your office. I'm picturing a cat hanging from a tree. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But what is it? What kind of inspiration can you find to remind your brain to focus on the positive things? You're being inundated in so many different social media, news, whatever it is, that you're just constantly berated with things that want you to go the negative path. What can you do to create reminders to keep practicing gratitude?
Don't feel guilty about not knowing, not remembering to practice gratitude. If you need to stick a post-it up on your wall, on your fridge, or by your computer screen to remind yourself, there's no need to feel guilt about a practice like this.
Right. But use what's available. Can you use Outlook to give you a reminder? Like, now's the time that you're going to focus on this. Can you use an alert on your phone that reminds you like, hey, don't forget to do this. But yeah, be kind to yourself too, that you're human and you can't be expected to, you're not, this is a practice. This is not like a 1, 2, 3, you're cured kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's something that you have to continue to practice.
Mm-hmm. At some point I had what do you call it when you install something in your browser? Not like, it's not an app, but anyway, I had something.
Oh, like an extension?
Yeah, like an extension, and I think I'm using Firefox, or maybe it was Chrome, it doesn't matter. I digress. And it would chime every now and then, and I've used it for multiple things. I think I had a chime like every 45 minutes or an hour. First, I used it for like water, drinking water, and then for like stretching, depending on what I needed at that time. But now I feel like I should be using it for just like recentering and taking a break and, you know, expressing a point of gratitude in that moment.
Absolutely. So
that, there's lots of things. I think what matters is that you choose something that works for you. So for a lot of folks, sticky notes might get lost in a pile on their desk, or maybe you're not paying attention to, you know, some of your phone notifications anymore. So just something that works for you, choosing something that works for you, I think is the best.
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, so the next one on our list goes back to what I mentioned before we started this. Okay. So let's go back to our Jane Austen days. Whip out your quills, folks. It's time to write letters of gratitude. Wow.
What? So, on paper?
Yeah, who knew, right? Physical letters, actual letters, to express to a person why you are thankful for them. What is it that you're grateful for in having them in your life? That is, I'm blushing just thinking about the process.
But think about how good it would feel. Like, we don't get real letters in the mail anymore, right? That's think true. About how for friends that you don't get a chance to see very much right now, to actually send them a physical thank you card or some kind of letter in the mail saying, here's what you mean to me. That, I mean, that feels a lot better than getting all of the bills and the junk mail that we seem to get exclusively through the mail anymore.
I have a friend who actually does. I don't know if she, like, collects greeting cards or postcards or what, but she just, like, several times a year, I feel like once a month, she'll just send me a card through the mail. And it's nothing, you know, it's not because of any occasion. She's just saying, like, hey, this is what's happening. And I'm so happy to receive that in the mail. And I think, yeah, people should write letters of gratitude. But I think the concern might be that awkwardness when you have to address the fact that you've written this letter to somebody, and they're reading it, and it feels vulnerable to some people.
Sure.
I would think. So do you have to mail it?
No, and that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, the act itself is definitely helpful because you're still training your brain. But, you know, I'm such a big Brené Brown fan that I will recommend the kind of the art of being vulnerable here. That how good does it feel to receive something that, like, somebody is saying, here's what you mean to me. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's worth feeling vulnerable for. But I'm also very selective with the people that I allow in my life. And that's something that we encourage with each other. But it is understandable that sometimes it feels a little strange. And, you know, is this going to be welcome for a person that I might not know that well? But I think it's worth it.
I do think it's worth it. And I think I read a study where, aside from journaling, letter writing is one of the most common ways that researchers will try to instill gratitude when they're doing an experiment. And there was one study where, even though, I mean, they had the option of mailing out their letters or giving it to the person.
Right.
But I think, I want to say it was like 23% of this major, one of the major studies, only 23% of participants actually sent them out. But the effects of gratitude were present in everybody who participated, who wrote a letter of gratitude. There's also a researcher in the University of Chicago, Nicholas Epley, and he was studying gratitude letters, and he found that people, in doing this activity, they underestimate how surprised, and more importantly, they underestimate how happy the recipients will be when they receive the letters. They also overestimate the awkwardness of having to.
Interesting.
And I think with this study, they didn't just have to send it, but they actually read it aloud to the person. Which to me is like,
that feels, like, that would be weird.
Open mic night. They told you to get on stage and, you know, play a song, and you're like, what? Anyway, that's my recurring nightmare. But what they found is that occasion where they had folks read their letter of gratitude to the person that they wrote that letter to was not only beneficial in that moment, but it was actually life-changing. Like, that's because it was such an intimate and vulnerable moment for both people, but it was created in this dome of positivity.
Sure.
That it, like, changed their relationship for the better, for, you know, for the long term. So that's pretty amazing, I think.
I think it's a practice, right? And
it
gets easier the more that you do it. So, for instance, if I just went to the vet yesterday, and there was a vet tech that I had dealt with, and he just happened to be so wonderful. And I had told him yesterday, I'm like, you know what? You made all the difference in the world because you were so friendly. And I could see the look on his face of just like, wow, we're not hearing how that we're good very often, because people are just in such this rush and, like, spin of anxiety and nonsense that just taking the time to stop and say, like, hey, you did a great job. I really appreciated how you made me feel. It makes people feel really good. So it's a worthwhile practice to start. Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people, like, you don't know what they're going through in their life. And even that one act might change their entire perspective of how they're doing, or just making them feel appreciated. I mean, I think people don't take enough time to even just acknowledge somebody that they're walking by on the street.
But right.
To acknowledge somebody who has done a service to you in some way is so important. We don't say thank you enough.
I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah. Okay. The last one
is kind of meditating on things. And, you know, we talked a little bit about just being in your mind and focusing on the positive, but even a simple meditation of, you know, being grateful for the air that you breathe, being mm-hmm. grateful for the clothes that you wear, and really mm-hmm. focus on like very small things that are right in front of you at that moment to put your brain on that for a few minutes a day really can make a difference in training that new neural pathway.
I mean, it sounds kind of like mindfulness.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think mindfulness, and you can add to this because I'm certainly not an expert on mindfulness, but mindfulness is just being present in the moment and yeah. being aware of the choices that you are making. So if you're mindful in that moment and being grateful, life is not going to feel so uncontrollable.
Right.
And it will help you in that regard too.
Right.
But I think a common theme is just practice, right?
Yes. Like
practice for yourself. Practice with others by giving it to them. I think also in your organization, practicing gratitude with your team is important if you can do it. Not if you can do it. You can absolutely do it, of course. Right. It's a choice of whether you do it or not, right?
So right.
You might as well do it. I think there was like a survey done of employees, and 9 out of 10 respondents to the survey said that expressing gratitude to colleagues made them feel happier. So the people who were expressing gratitude, 9 out of 10, but 60% said that they don't do it. You're right, even though it makes you feel happier. So there's this benefit that you're not practicing. 81% of respondents said they would work harder for a grateful boss. Anyway, research has shown when a manager has expressed gratitude for the hard work of their team, productivity went up 50%.
Holy cow.
Can you imagine 50%?
Wow.
If you're leading a team, a practice of gratitude is really beneficial, not only just for everybody's well-being, but for your bottom line.
Right. People often think that recognition has to be in the form of money, but recognition could just be a simple, yeah. I thank you for the work that you're doing, and that that appreciation mm-hmm. is enough.
Yeah. Just giving, just the practice of saying thanks.
Yeah.
And I actually think it's the safest way to show gratitude. Not that you shouldn't like go grand every now and then, but some people are just uncomfortable with.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not a big.
Public displays of.
Yeah.
What are you going to do today to express gratitude, Jen? Putting you on the spot yet again.
You totally am. I definitely have my roses and thorn already settled, and I know that one of my roses is spending time with you today. I think I've been probably like driving my friends crazy of like, think about this. What about this? And like different studies that I keep showing of this is why it's a good thing to do. But it's fun to get excited. So that's what I'm committing to. How about you?
I want to write a letter. I mentioned my friend who sends me greeting cards. I hardly ever write her back.
Okay.
And I, you know, I will leave a note like on Instagram or Facebook or something. But obviously this is something that matters to her because she is practicing it. And now I feel bad that she's not receiving something in her mailbox. So I will write her a card. Well, first I have to find a card. Because unfortunately I'm not ones who are smart enough to keep an emergency greeting card in the drawer. But I will write her a card, and I will make it a card whose theme is gratitude.
Nice.
And not just, you know, here's how everything is doing type of card. So that's what I'm going to do today. Should we issue a challenge to our listeners?
Yeah, I think we absolutely should. All right, listeners, what are you grateful for? And what are you going to do to express that? We want to hear from you. Definitely contact us and let us know some practices that you've already put into place mm-hmm. or something that you're willing to give a shot and to try out to see how this is going to be. Just remember, there's so much to be grateful for. Just look for it.
Yeah.
And I'm expressing gratitude for learning a little bit more about this topic. I knew a touch, and then I feel like I've dived in a little bit more. But we want you to be curious enough to tempt a new way to train your brain.
Because all it takes is practice, being consistent, and soon you're on your way to higher levels of serotonin and dopamine and new neural pathways on your brain. And what else? I think I read you're going to sleep better, your blood pressure goes down, your cholesterol goes down. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So this is certainly a practice. It's almost like exercising, but
yeah,
for your emotional well-being.
Yes. We want you to be happy and healthy. Don't forget to visit My Learning to learn more about gratitude. Mm-hmm. We'll have some links on articles where we got some of this information. Also, some other LinkedIn Learning, perhaps, that you can tap into to learn a little bit more about the effects of gratitude. And we just want you also to remember to keep learning, keep growing, and keep playing well with others.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.